Well, actually, what I am is a seasoned queen. That's what I am. You know, I honestly don't know why my brother keeps introducing me as a preacher, because I am not. So just so you can just lower your expectations, I do speak, so I'm going to talk, so that's what I'm going to do today. But happy, blessed, and grateful. These are the words that describe me right now. Thank you to my brother for such a warm welcome, and thank you to my brother and sister-in-law for such glorious hospitality. I didn't have to lift a finger, but they did tell me the next time I visit, I'm going to have to pull my weight. So Well, it is good to be invited back to Strong Tower. Almost 2 years ago from the first day I stood here. So my last message, if you remember, it went so long that the live feed cut off. But I do promise you today, we will not have that faux pas. So I'm not going to repeat that. So, but thank you for just such a warm welcome. And I do want to just say thank you again to Pastor Chris and First Lady Darina, Pastor First Lady Darina, and the Strong Tower Bible Church family for setting the table so well to serve the appetizers before the celebration. So when I consider myself an appetizer before the celebration, I was thinking to myself, well, what appetizer would I be? And so I thought, well, maybe I would be veggies and dip, because I really love veggies and dip. So that's how I see myself today. So I'm the veggies and dip appetizer. But I'm also grateful for the pastor of this lighthouse on the hill. A strong tower and a safe place for the righteous and all who want to live righteously. In the Bible, as you know, the strong tower metaphor, particularly in Proverbs 18:10, represents God's name as a place of refuge and protection for the righteous. It signifies that God is a source of safety, security, and strength, offering refuge from life's challenges and enemies, both external and internal. So it is here at Strong Tower Bible Church. Dr. Williamson is a leader I love and highly respect, cheer for, encourage, support, and pray for. He's my teacher, my mentor, my cheerleader, and my confidant. And we talk just about every single day. So whenever I can give honor to whom honor is due, it is a privilege to do so. So I applaud his courage, because it truly takes courage to biblically address the political environment we all find ourselves in today. Pastor Darina, my sister in love, you are a beautiful flower, always in bloom. You are kind, loyal, fierce, wise, and a true picture of a virtuous woman. To my Tennessee family, my brother who's here today, my brother Harold and my sister-in-law Brenda, my nephew Dante, my nieces Chase, Karis, and Aaron, and baby Kobe, I love you all, because we are Williamson Strong. I also want to acknowledge my village back in Baltimore with a specific shout out to my brother, my favorite middle brother, Wayne, who is hosting my favorite middle brother, Wayne, who is hosting a breakfast watch party for the family today. So thank you to everyone in Baltimore who is a part of the virtual village today. I also want to acknowledge Pastors Felicia and Joel. It's an honor to be in your company. And to every servant leader here, including the elders, I honor your devoted service to this house. I also stand here knowing that I have the blessing of my ancestral village, which includes my dear parents, Harold and Betty Williamson, who loved and supported STBC and the ministry here since its inception. And last but not least, as I said, I stood here almost 2 years ago to the day and introduced my covering and my biggest cheerleader, my husband, John. It's a pleasure to do it again. John, I love you, honor you, and cherish how God has fashioned and fastened us. Thank you for cheering me on in the most supportive way. Truly, truly, I love you. And I'm grateful that this coming Thursday, we will celebrate 47 years of marriage. Amen. Well, all right. Good morning, Strong Tower Bible Church. I bring you greetings from hot and sunny Baltimore. So it's good to join you in person as opposed to joining online today. So normally I connect online at 11:30 from 704 miles away. And I remember visiting my mother on a Sunday morning when she was in the hospital back in 2021. And so when I walked into her hospital room, the nurse was trying to help her find something on the TV. So I said to my mother, I said, Mom, what are you all looking for? What are you doing? And she says, so the nurse says to me, well, your mother is looking for your brother, his live feed on TV. So I said, Mom, he's not on TV. You're going to have to get your device and go on Facebook Live. You can't turn the station and find him, which is what she had told the nurse. Her son was on there, and she wanted to see him. And so, anyway, I laughed at her, but she didn't think it was funny. So, anyway, but that was very much the relationship we had together as mother and daughter. Well, since the onset of COVID in 2020, church live streams, as you know, have become a significant part of religious life. So in a recent poll by Barna, 96% of pastors reported that their churches streamed live services during the pandemic. And we know that because we participated in them. Though overall engagement with online worship has since declined from the pandemic highs. Well, while many Americans still prefer in-person attendance, a notable portion continues to engage with religious services online, with 15% of U.S. adults watching religious services online or on TV more than before the pandemic, and 22% of Christians saying they watch online more often. So if you don't know, hybrid services are a thing. And so I, for one, am grateful for Strong Tower Bible Church's online presence. It's been my virtual village since 2020. And this morning, I've been tasked by my dear brother to share why STBC's online presence means so much to me, and it's a joy to do that. So if you've ever experienced the virtual community or not, this is my prayer that this message will help you see STBC's online presence in a whole new way, not only as a virtual space, but also as a sacred place. So, thus the title of my message this morning is When a Virtual Space Becomes a Sacred Place. So let's pray. Jesus. Amen. So I don't know if you know it, but Jesus is a prayer. A whisper is a prayer. A sigh is a prayer. Well, Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. But before you discount live streaming as being derelict and keeping in lockstep with Hebrews 10:25, please give an ear as to how nicely live streaming fits this mandate. So let me explain. STBC's online presence is what I refer to as my virtual village. STBC is my first virtual village and currently remains my only virtual village. But what do I mean by virtual village? A virtual village is a place where a group of people gather virtually for a shared experience, in this case, a live stream worship service. The village forms when you bring an appreciation for those who are sharing the experience with you. This requires a virtual mindset. A virtual mindset sees those who've joined in online as a village, as a community where you can exchange comments and hallelujahs. A village mindset implies, as you think, so shall you become. If you consider a virtual space as your village, a space where everyone is studying and learning together, exchanging thoughts, ideas, and prayers, it becomes that for you. A village mindset informs how you interact in that space. So you move from a viewer to a villager. So for me, the virtual village especially comes alive during Wednesday night impact. And I'm so, thank you, Lord, that you are starting again on Wednesday. Because when I was informed in May, not June, that they were done for you know, until the fall, one pastor of this church received a phone call from me. I think I said something like, How can you do this to us? Like, what are we supposed to do in Baltimore? That's what I said. I was really mad. I was really mad. So you have to. So I think I said I'm going to go in the archives and pull out some old messages. And you know that's a good alternative, isn't it? But Wednesday Night Impact offers an opportunity to interact with those who are physically in the space and online. And I cannot tell you how much feedback I've received when I've shared something significant in that space based on our study, like something hard, something wonderful, something challenging, and then you get feedback online. So this is the power of the village mindset, and it's needed now more than ever. And I give back just as much as I receive in that space, and it's so special. So grateful, so very grateful that I've had lots of meaningful interactions on and off that space. So my brother had mentioned earlier that I host kitchen table conversations with Kathy, and it's a platform to bring different races, different cultures, and different religious backgrounds together to talk about race relations in our country. And a couple of people from the congregation that I met in my virtual village have joined me online. So I love that. So STBC's online presence is not only a virtual village for me, it's also a sacred place. Now, the COVID lockdown ushered in STBC's online presence, as I said, and what has become my virtual village and my sacred place for 5 years now. And when I think of sacred places, I'm reminded of what I've learned about enslaved people who worship God in secret. Gatherings known as invisible churches. These invisible churches met in remote locations, such as the woods, gullies, and thickets, as well as in their cabins. Remote, but always sacred. So how do I define a sacred space, a sacred place? Well, to me, a sacred place is a location designated or perceived as holy, significant, or connected to a higher power, providing a sense of safety, peace, and transcendence, a place that fosters connection, growth, healing, spiritual renewal, and awakening for spiritual formation. Sacred places are equivalent to the strong tower. But why a sacred place? Why do I refer to it as that? Because when you've been displaced from your church community for a season, you're bound to starve. So like physical starvation, spiritual starvation develops into a deep hunger and a need to be fed spiritually, to be in community. So the STBC Virtual Village has become a sacred place for me that allows me to be fed well, find my rest in God, and engage with others as a village member. A virtual village now that becomes a sacred place. So what we know, or maybe you do or maybe you don't, any place can become a sacred place. So consider these ordinary places that also double many times as sacred places that you may not think about. Your car, the shower, on a porch swing, at a virtual kitchen table, in a conversation with a stranger, between the clothes on the clothesline, where the enslaved could steal away and talk to God in prayer. Engaging with nature, listening to the waves crashing on the ocean, a hospital room like it was for my mom, a classroom, a courtroom, taking notice of the sunrise and the sunset, gazing at the stars, or a comfy armchair. You get the picture. So here's a question for you. How many of you know the story of Susanna Wesley? Oh, all right, well, let's have a little teaching session here. So Susanna Wesley was the mother of Methodism, actually the Methodist Church, and John and Charles Wesley were her sons. It was mentioned here this morning about the song and the author. So she created a sacred place, a sacred space, and a place to meet with God. And she did this because she was desperate to hear from God every day. Well, Susanna gave birth to 19 children. 19. John and Charles were included. So other than this, she had 17 other kids other than John and Charles Wesley. But early in her life, she vowed that she would never spend more time in leisure and entertainment than she did in prayer and Bible study. Even amid the most complex and busy years of her life as a mother, she still scheduled 2 hours each day for fellowship with God and time in His Word, and she adhered to that schedule faithfully. Good for her. Oh my gosh. The challenge was finding a place of privacy in a house filled to overflowing with children, with 19 children. Well, this was Mother Wesley's solution. She was to bring her Bible to her favorite chair, so think comfy chair. She would wear an apron, and she would throw that apron up over her head. And this became something akin to the tent of meeting. If you know anything about that in the Old Testament, the tent of meeting was the place where you met with God. It's like the tabernacle of the days of Moses in the Old Testament. And every person in the household, from the smallest toddler to the oldest domestic helper, knew well to respect this signal. So when Susanna was under the apron, she was with God, and was not to be disturbed except in the case of the direst emergency. But there in the privacy of her little apron tent, she interceded for her husband and children and plumbed the deepest mysteries of God in the scriptures. This holy discipline equipped her with a thorough and profound knowledge of the Bible. So really, if you think about it, there is no excuse. You can do what you need to do if you really want to forge that relationship with God. And I really love that story because our ordinary places, just a comfy chair, you're just wearing your household garb, an apron, and it becomes holy ground for our encounters with God. So many years ago, when my children were small, I modeled my own time with God after Susanna's example. So every Thursday when my children would go to school, I'm dating myself now. I take the phone off the hook, turn the TV off, get my Bible and my cassette tapes with my worship music, and spend the next several hours with God in my favorite chair in the living room before my children came home from school. So that was my every Thursday routine. My chair in the living room became my sacred place. So nowadays, I'm much more creative. I know I can encounter him everywhere, even online, the virtual village. But Kathy, you may ask, is there a biblical basis for an online presence that becomes a virtual village that also serves as a sacred place? Well, yes. So that's what I'm here to tell you about. So let's take a look at three scriptures that provide that biblical basis. So Matthew 28:19, also known as the Great Commission, says, "Therefore, and go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So this is the Great Commission. Jesus commanded his followers to go and to make disciples of all nations. Live streaming can be seen as a modern application of this command, using digital tools to share the gospel message in a wider audience and reach those who may be curious but hesitant to attend in person. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. The Bible teaches that the church is one body in spirit, even when physically apart. So Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, says there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So we are still the church when we're not physically in the same place. So a mile apart or 704 miles apart. Those unable or unwilling to be in the same room still need to be reached. The digital platform gives you that opportunity. So another biblical argument for having on-screen church services focuses on the principle of how shall they hear? Romans 10:14 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? The virtual village may be the only way some hear about God, the God who loves them, a Savior who died for them, and the Spirit who seals them until the day of redemption. The old adage rings true, if we build it, they will come. And when they come, welcome them. Welcome them. So I believe Matthew 28:19, Ephesians 4 through 6, and Romans 10:14 all support using all available means to spread the gospel and to serve those who attend physically, who are not able to attend physically, such as the sick, those who are traveling, or those who are hesitant. The message is that God's people must intentionally search all over the world for those who have yet to hear. And a platform like your online presence gives them that opportunity. I'm so grateful for that. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke also tell the story of ordinary places that become sacred because Jesus shows up. And you know he shows up online too, right? He shows up online. So the roadside near Jericho where blind Bartimaeus sat begging as Jesus passed by became a sacred place when Bartimaeus learns that Jesus was near. He cried out for mercy and Jesus healed him by restoring his sight right there on that dusty roadside. Yes, it became a sacred place. The well where Jesus met with the Samaritan woman, the upper room where Jesus and his disciples gathered, the Sea of Galilee where Jesus met Peter, Paul and Silas in prison, on the road to Emmaus, house churches, small groups, life groups, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Golgotha Garden. They were all sacred places. Well, before I close, and I know you're excited to get out of here a little bit early today, because I told you I wasn't going to go over my time. But before I close, I want to quickly address how to experience a virtual space as a sacred place. You enter in. It's simple. You just enter in. So if you find yourself needing that space, enter in. Don't just be a viewer. Become a villager. So you enter in as a participant, not a spectator. And I'm ever so grateful for the worship team led by Pastor Jewel and others as a wide open gate. So worship has me shouting hallelujah. And if you're ever online, all of the hearts, they come from me because I'm just hearting. Every song and every word of encouragement because it's my virtual village and it's a sacred place. So I'm praying along, receiving communion, cheering for the children as they hurriedly make their way to their groups, crying through the baptisms, appreciating the invitation to give, welcoming visitors and new members, and amening the mighty word of God. I participate, y'all. I really do. Right there in my dining room, I participate. I mean, I really participate. So like I'm raising my hands and I'm clapping my hands and patting my feet and I'm singing along. Now, like, unlike my brother, I can carry a tune. So virtual worship experienced as sacred by the village is a connector. Did you know that? So when you are gathered in and you're worshiping God together, it is a connector. It's a catalyst to experiencing genuine community. While live streaming service may not be a replacement for a physical gathering, I believe it is an acceptable option for the spiritual body of Christ by connecting members, reaching new people, and providing a digital front porch for those exploring the faith or seeking to deepen their faith. Live streaming provides a way to equip people with the truth of the gospel by providing a digital library of messages for spiritual growth and connection. And by the way, in the archives on the STBC website, they list all of the preachers and speakers and the number of messages they share. So today I officially go from 1 to 2. So amongst the digital library, you're going to find messages like, "Pray, Mama, pray." Yes. "Why a King?" "Whatever you do, keep moving." "This is a test." "Why Simon of Cyrene?" "Black presence in the Bible." and salvation messages galore, and everything in between. So if you haven't been in the archives, go in the archives. It's a wealth, just a wealth of wonderful messages so that you can be spiritually formed. So live streams can serve as the valuable first touch point, as I said, particularly to younger generations who are accustomed to engaging with content on digital platforms. So this initial engagement can lead to deeper connections and encourage in-person attendance over time. So while young people may, their first touch point may be to enter in online, eventually, as the polls show, they will come. So I just love that. And who can argue with that? Nobody can argue with that. So we've talked about the what, the whys, and the hows of having a biblical mindset that recognizes and supports online spaces as a virtual village that becomes a sacred place. But as I close, if you need an option right now to grow and connect, please, please, please take advantage of what's offered virtually through STBC's online presence. So doing so sets the foundation for making village friends. I will be one of your village friends and connections. I value the relationships I've made that are very dear and rewarding to me today. And don't forget, when you're on that platform, share it. There is a share button. So share it so that you can help bless someone else. So consider engaging with the STBC podcast on SoundCloud. Now, I didn't know there was a podcast until one of my friends told me that there was a podcast. Oh, I heard your brother on the podcast. I'm like, what podcast? So anyway, but that's just that's a great way to do that. STBC, Nashville, and Franklin both live stream their services. There's funerals that you can engage with, baby dedications, baptisms, special holidays like Watch Night Service, Impact Wednesday, as I said, Good Friday services, or Juneteenth. Also, if you consider Strong Tower Bible Church to be your online village, your virtual village, give. You can give to the ministry as well. And you can also give to Bless Fest, which I love to do, through the Benevolent Fund. Friends, if I lived here, I would be a part of the Senior Saints ministry. I would take full advantage of ATI, the prayer team, and volunteer with Bless Fest. But you all are here. Take full advantage of what you have here. You don't know what it means to be in a place like this. So if you are so privileged, as I said, to live here in Nashville, get here in this place. Walk through those doors, because there are so many ways to be a village here that's different from being a virtual villager. But get here. Get here. So Impact Wednesday begins this week. I'll be here. I hope you'll be here, because you all get dinner. I have to cook mine and watch. So, yeah. And we do have a whole system at home, my husband and I. So you all come on at 7:30 in Maryland, because we are hour ahead. So we get dinner, we wash the dishes, and then we sit down, open our Bibles, and we sit. And we engage as virtual villagers and see it as our sacred place. So you also have all of the activities that are coming up around the 30th anniversary. So you've got the cookout, you've got the worship service on Sunday with the reception, and all of these good things, they're here, they're right here for you. Please, please, please take advantage of them. So lastly, remember, live stream is a lifeline for the elderly, for the sick and shut-in, those who are on vacation, college students who may want to stay connected while away from school and can't find a church where they are, those who cannot connect with a local congregation, family in other states, that's us, ministry workers in foreign countries, ministry workers on sabbatical, and the incarcerated. So, STBC, thank you, thank you, thank you for the lifeline. Thank you for being my lifeline. Thank you, thank you, thank you, STBC, for offering a space where Virtual Village can become a sacred place. Thank you, STBC, for offering a space for many to meet with God in a deep and transformative way. Thank you, STBC, for 30 years of excellence, 30 years of excellence in ministry. So STBC family, you may know, well, I pray that you know and appreciate the online presence for a virtual village as a sacred place, a gate for many to enter, whether you utilize it or not. And whatever gate you enter into, virtually or in person, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. And be thankful to him and bless his name. Amen.